everyone. Welcome to Podtackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I'm Halo Cannon.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, for another Hunt the Truth episode, episode number 5. Second to last one. Our last one comes next week with the launch of Halo 5 Guardians. And my brothers and sisters, behold, Dosk is with us once again. May his light shine upon us.
Praise be upon him.
A glorious, glorious episode. But on the serious side, we've got quite a bit to discuss on this episode as well. Not as much, I think, as kind of like info-packed as a few episodes have been. It seems like the diversity of information has gotten a little bit less and less, but the intensity of the podcast just keep on rolling it out like crazy.
It's definitely like it's much more personal. Yeah, it's like it's getting more and more personal each time. It's not to say it wasn't personal in the past, but there was definitely a lot more. Yeah, it was like much larger scale, where this is much more small personal scale kind of stuff.
Right, and this seems a lot more in line with what's going on presently, because there's a lot within the first couple episodes where Maya was going back to stuff that she had done before and what happened with Ben and Mashak and Petra before the whole thing of her being Pharaoh and whatnot. So we're looking more at what's happening current day. And judging by some of the sounds of what we're hearing within the podcast, maybe some of it's taking part during Halo 5, possibly. We don't know like where exactly this takes place, I think, in timeline to Halo 5 yet, but it seems like with what's going on, there's definitely some possibilities of some of the stuff taking place during the game.
Yeah, it definitely looks that way. Like, I think we're about to hear a Guardian pop out of the ground.
It sounds like it.
He's
very much
go.
So with all the...
Oh.
Well, I mean, we're going to be jumping around this a little bit, but if you listen to near the end of it when there's the gravitational disturbances, that's pretty much the not Halo 5 trailer that was shown at E3 a couple of years ago.
I was thinking... floating rocks.
Yep. And then thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's well, we can get into that here in a little bit when we get actually to that part, but
yeah.
This the way they started it out, I was not to criticize, but I really wanted to hear just a little bit more on the jackals.
Yeah, that is a good point, because we jumped from straight of them going or proposing to fix the slip space drive, and at the beginning of this episode, they're already gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, BB did say it should be a pretty simple fix, and...
True.
I agree. I would have liked to see more with the Jackals, and I almost have a suspicion that we might not see the end. I mean, if their slip space drive is fixed, what's to stop them from following Maya and all them to wherever they're going, and perhaps in the eyes of those jackals, scoring even bigger than they ever could have hoped.
True.
So
it's definitely possible that they will show up again.
Yeah,
maybe. But for me, it seems like if they took it that lightly at the beginning of the episode, then it was something where maybe the jackals were looking to get out of Dodge as quick as they could.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, there's, like I said, just a little blurb is all I was really looking for. I wasn't looking for it to take half the episode. I like what they did. It's cool. I was just looking for just that little bit more of the jackals before we moved forward with the story. But getting to the fact that, you know, they go from being on the jackal ship to now they're on Maya's ship headed somewhere.
Right.
It's, just a little abrupt.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that. It was something where I was expecting something a little bit more on the Jackal ship, or maybe another scuttle of them trying to get off once they did fix the slip space drive. But hey, sometimes things just work out well for people. And I guess it's just one of those times where the Jackals just kept their word and let them go. There are some nice Covenant every once in a while, I guess.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Nice in the fact that they keep their word. Not nice because they were going to frickin' dissect Bostwick or throw them out the airlock. But nice that they kept their word.
Definitely.
So we start off, like GT said, they left the Jackal ship unscathed, which was nice. And BB kind of chimes in saying that he was doing analysis on the data that they recovered from Conrad's point because, well, Maya wasn't exactly trusting of him. And since he knew that he was just going to have Mashok analyze the data, he took it upon himself to do a thorough analysis of the data. So go figure. What he found was there were actually some weather patterns that occurred before each of the anomalies at each of the five different planets that had experienced the anomalies so far.
Along with gravimetrics, gravimetric anomalies too.
Right. So there was definitely a pattern that could help predict when the next anomaly was going to happen. So,
science!
I know, right? Science!
Science!
Love me some science. So with that information, Mashok does a quick little query to find one of the closest planets that could be experiencing the same type of weather patterns and gravity and electromagnetic disturbances, and it turns out there is one called Laika 3. So everyone is thinking, okay, we should go help them evacuate. And then BB kind of drops a bomb that he already sent the information to Oni as well. And everyone kind of flips out a little bit.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
Yeah.
Shoot him!
Mashok's like, you should shoot the freaking bastard. He's betraying us and whatnot. And of course, BB has his own reasons for why he's doing it, that the government, and I found this little kind of very Oni, like brainwashing type thing, but the government responsible for the defense of their people, which you don't think of Oni whenever you think of something that like that.
Yeah, definitely not.
But he basically said that he told Oni so that they could actually go and handle the situation. And to that, it translates to more contain, reduce panic, evaluate the situation, what's going on. And at that point, Bostwick is up in arms. Is like, no, we should be helping them and saving them. BB goes on to say, there's no point at this point. At this rate, with how close the anomaly is to happening, there is no way that we could even evacuate any of the major populated areas on the planet. It's just not possible.
Well, maybe if Maya had given Oni the data from the start.
Well, no, there, there's that too.
No, it would have still wound up the same way.
Right. Well, as Maya points out, I mean, Maya of all people points this out, Oni wouldn't do anything. Oni would just let them die. And all they would do, and BB kind of points this out too, is contain the situation and prevent unnecessary panic from taking over other places. So basically do what Oni has been doing, burying the story, controlling the situation, completely just like trying to hide the real fact of what's going on. And Bostwick won't have any of it. Mashok's over there like, just kill the freaking AI already. I like Killy. How he whispers the last time, too. Just kill him already.
It's okay. Killy.
He's just like a pure zombie.
Yeah, exactly. Mashok with the whole zombie analogy. That was definitely a good Mashok moment.
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh.
So this is a little monologue where Maya comes in and she says, I should know what Maya would do at this point, but I really don't. But I know for sure what Farrah would do.
Well, she also makes mention of how, you know, Bostwick is standing there ready to throw her life away to try to save these people. And that inspires her to make the decision she does.
Right. So the other thing to that as well as Bostwick kind of standing up for her is, I think if we look back at the previous episodes already, we have seen the transition from Maya being kind of the Oni spook to opening up to actually trying to help people instead of just what Oni thinks is best, but actually do something about it. So she kind of, I think, has this own inner conviction of needing to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of plays into part of it as well. So she kind of decides to go the Pharaoh route and sets a course for Laika 3. And when they drop out of slip space, she kind of has a little monologue of saying how it looked like Earth, like a perfect Earth, that there was just like green everywhere. Like it was really pretty.
Was it Bostwick that said the tree line?
Yeah, she made the comment about the trees.
There's a lot of trees.
And then Mashok's like, well, there's a lot of people down there too. And BB's like, don't get attached to it all.
Oh, BB, you're such a bastard.
Such a beautiful bastard.
Yes, he is. See, that's what BB actually stands for. They just don't tell you that.
Beautiful bastard.
Yep.
Yeah. A little double meaning there would be kind of interesting. But they're discussing what BB kind of brings up. I still don't see how you plan to evacuate these people. There's millions of people on here, and I don't think someone who's known as being a traitor, like Pharaoh, is going to convince people off of a whim, off of a hunch, to completely evacuate the planet, let alone how are they going to fit them on a 10-passenger prisoner transport.
Bag of holding.
Yeah. the infinite bag of holding. But it's, and mm-hmm. I love BB's quib at analogy. The end there where he says, I may be an AI, but even that is a tight squeeze. I love the little quibs in here from Mashok, from BB. I mean,
it may not have a physical form, but that seems to be a pretty tight fit.
Tell you, man. Yeah. BB, Mashok, soap opera. All you need. Or radio drama. Radio drama.
Well, we're kind of doing the radio drama right now with Hunt the Truth. I mean, right?
You need a spinoff. You need the spinoff series. Got to have the spinoff. It's just Mashok and BB going on wacky adventures across the galaxy.
Oh, God.
We could do that, you know. Just saying. I will admit, I did have the idea, because for anyone who listens to Guardian Radio, whenever before the game came out, they did a little mini series where, oh gosh, I forget what it was called. GT, do you remember what it was called? It was like a little audio drama.
I didn't tell you said it.
I'm sorry. Anyways, they did a little radio drama series. It was 14 episodes long, and it was supposed to be kind of a fan creation within the universe of something that got reported or something. If someone in the chat knows what I'm talking about, please shout out. But I thought about possibly doing something like that for Ghosts this and season Echoes. 2. Yes, that was it. And it was supposed to be talking about, or was it from the perspective of ghosts within?
Well, what it was is it was basically their own fabrication of the story, gleaned from just a little bit of information that had come out before Destiny launched. This is a total fan fiction.
No, yeah, definitely. But it's a little fan thing. I mean, just like Fistful of Arrows is a complete fan fiction, and that's kind of done within the story of Halo going right after Reach.
Right.
It's still like a fan story.
The premise of the show, there were two AIs, and one of them, I believe, if I remember correctly, one of them was actually reconstructing its own memory. It was the personal AI of some big corporation in the Destiny universe. And it actually relates to one of the weapons factories foundries, if I remember correctly. But I have to admit, the guys did an awesome job with that series for just pulling this story out of thin air with no real canon developed for the game yet, or at least public for the game yet. They actually did a really good job, and it kind of fits into the canon a little bit. It's not so abstract that you're like, is this really the same area? They did a really good job of fitting it in. And the guy that was writing the scripts and doing the audio mixing, he's actually a NASA engineer. What the heck's his name?
Was it Chris Hargrove? Craig Hargrove?
Yeah. Craig Hargrove.
Yeah, Craig Hargrove.
But anyway, he's part of, he's works on the Curiosity rover on Mars. So, you know, kind of total opposite background to this particular.
No, audience. Not at all. Clearly he's there to look for the traveler.
He's made mention of that several times. But anyway, the way they worked it, it worked out very well. I was really surprised with limited resources, because, you know, this is all funded by them, that they put out a very high quality show. But
they did, yeah. It was really awesome too, because it was their own story kind of within the Destiny universe, but it worked really well. and four, I mean 14 episodes down the road.
Yeah.
It was definitely a good listen to. And I was thinking about doing something like that for Hunt the Truth for a little while, but just the time commitment to actually do that would be ridiculous. So I decided against it.
The mole.
And maybe if you only had a podcast.
If I only had a podcast and wasn't running a website and working on the Halo Mole and also doing a bunch of pre-launch content and whatnot, then tell maybe.
You're not the only one, Dust. I've thought about it myself, but it's not out of my comfort zone. It's just I don't have the knowledge to produce something like that. I just don't have the creative spark to come up with that, to, you know, write the scripts and, you know, kind of make it fit in, but have it be my own story.
Fair enough. I think it could be done, though, within the Halo universe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think Hunt the Truth would just be a perfect vehicle for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, back on topic, as we digress a little bit. So after kind of the whole discussion with BB on whether or not we should try to evacuate everybody, Maya basically says we don't have to evacuate everybody. We just have to evacuate people that are around where the anomaly is going to be. And that shouldn't be a relatively hard thing to do. So Mashak starts to kind of do a quick analysis of where this might be on the planet to try to identify where it is. And out of nowhere, they get hit with something, a blast. At first, Maya thought they may have just hit some kind of random stray satellite, but turns out they got found by Ilsa Zane. She didn't die. She tracked them somehow to this place. So much for trying to escape that. So she is all up in arms of Maya destroying the army that she made.
Mm-hmm. She's a little upset.
Just a little bit. You know, she only took out all the forces that she had been trying to pull together for how long now? But to that point,
as long as 5 years.
Yeah. But to that point, Maya tries to, well, I take that back. A little interjection here. So Mashak hops on the radio and is like, would it help to know that there's someone on here that you don't hate and that didn't do anything against you? At that point, Maya just pushes him out of the way and he's like, well, it was worth a try, right? I love Mashak. I really love Mashak.
Oh, the selfless acts he partakes in.
Crash, if you can talk to Noah, if we can have that voice actor on whenever we have our podcast with you and Noah and whoever else you can get on, please see if you can get him on for us, please.
Oh, and yes. He's going to
stay in character the whole episode.
That would be so great. Be so awesome. Actually, any of these major characters would be awesome. Now, granted, Mark Hamill would be awesome, but I have a feeling he's probably preoccupied. But
I think he's a little busy right now.
No, I'm sure they finished filming Star Wars now, so he's probably free.
Well, that's not the only thing Mark Hamill's got going.
Right. And then he also is probably doing like appearances for the movie and whatnot.
Yeah, but who really needs that? Podtacular's the real place to be. Where the real money's made.
Yeah, sure. We'll let you know when that money starts showing up.
I have 10 billion theoretical dollars.
So when Maya tries to kind of make her, or intercede and make her point that they need to try to tell people to evacuate, that people are in danger, she, or Ilsa Zane comes on and says, I know, and you led me right to another anomaly. And for some reason, the UNSC is really freaked out about what's going on. And I'm here to take it over and then basically return the favor and use it against the UNSC. Okay.
And she pretty much says she wants to shove it up their butts. But anyway.
Yeah. And if we know anything about the anomalies going on, if they are, in fact, the Guardians, how does she plan to take it over?
I would love to see.
In the
Hunt the Crew series, I don't think they actually know that they're Guardians yet.
Well, no, they definitely don't.
No, they don't.
Because anybody that was near the launching of one of these Guardians probably didn't survive.
Probably not. I mean, if you remember the Battle of Sinai gameplay.
Well, except the E3, except the Elite. Except the Elite. Well, that was the last episode.
Well, he didn't exactly survive.
Yeah.
He did live longer than most, but...
Well, he could have survived if he was given proper medical care, it sounded like.
Well, Elites, he would have refused it anyway, so it doesn't... Yeah.
You dare spill blood off the battlefield?
That is true. So after Ilsa basically tells Maya her plan of trying to take it over, she says, okay, bye-bye. So she shoots him again, and Maya puts the ship into basically a straight downward flight path into the planet, just to kind of get away. At this point, Bibi says, I hate to break it to you, but I need to navigate the ship in order to save your lives. And Boswick's like, Maya is like, so what, you can properly kill us? And he goes,
that was Boswick that said that.
I thought that sounded like Maya. I
apologize to the voice actors, but Boswick and Maya sound really close together. So sometimes I get them confused.
Sometimes.
But she basically is putting this ship into the planet's atmosphere as fast as she possibly can with no engines. So this time she really is falling out of the sky.
Right. So BB says, I can navigate through this. You can't. Being like he's an AI, he can actually survive the G-forces that they're currently experiencing as they're spiraling towards their death. Eventually, Maya lets him take over. And the next thing that she knows, she's waking up. And it's a little hazy. She doesn't remember exactly what happened, but all she remembers is like waking up to like a morning sun. She's like under some really light sheets, and she kind of goes back to a memory that she had of when she was at a cabin with her dad, and how any moment now he would come and whisper her to wake up. But the person that she ends up waking up to is none other than Dask Gevadim,
our glorious leader.
Yeah, so Dask is somehow...
Apparently he's Jeff Bridges dressed as a Templar.
You noticed that too, huh?
Yes.
I saw that picture and I'm like, oh, Jeff God. Bridges?
Jeff Bridges? A Templar? Assassin's Creed crossover.
I can kind of see Jeff Bridges. It's a hard tell.
Not kind of. That is Jeff Bridges.
Go watch Iron Man, the first one again, and tell me that's not Jeff Bridges.
I mean, I can kind of see it, but I don't get the Jeff Bridges vibe from that.
I do.
I really do.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, you're the weird one.
Weirder things have been said.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So she survived the crash, and one of the first things that she was thinking of when she came to was like, okay, what's happened to Boswick and Mashak? And Dask reassures her that they're all fine. You're all safe. You survived a pretty hefty crash. it was rough, but you're alive and safe. And he's all excited about this moment because, one, they're alive. So he goes on to say a little bit later on how he was impatient with actually trying to hear the results of whether or not they actually made it out of the ship, and it turns out that they did. So he was excited for that, but he was even more excited to learn that Pharaoh had just happened to crash down on the planet where they all were, and there's something about to happen that he knows strangely a lot about, as we'll hear a little bit later on as well. But he doesn't think that her being there is random whatsoever. And whenever he used the terms inevitable, I couldn't help but think of the Matrix. So he said that there was no spiritual being or just consequence, that anyone who was there was there, but just the inevitability of the universe is the reason why everyone was there who was there. And I just couldn't help but think of it is inevitable, Mr. Smith saying that from the Matrix.
Your being here is the result of an anomaly, ergo.
So completely random tangent. I'm going to take it for a couple minutes, but does anyone know of film theory or the film theorist?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So no, I do not.
Have you heard of the game theorist, Todd?
Possibly. Not ringing any bells right at the moment.
You should look it up, but Film Theory is his offshoot channel. He started very recently.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
good stuff. Anyway,
he's done like two film theories on the Matrix series.
Both of which were spectacular.
They are really good. I would highly recommend if you're a Matrix fan whatsoever. And if you're a Matrix fan, you know there's definitely lots of hidden meanings in the movie. These two film theorists videos that he's done on the Matrix just take that even a bigger step further. So the first one is how Neo isn't the one. And then the second one is how they never actually leave the Matrix. And they're really, really good.
The Matrix is like an onion.
Many layers.
Exactly.
Okay, Shrek.
They should have called it Matriception. Is that too hard? Yep. Was that too much? Should I just leave now?
Yeah, probably.
Sorry. Forgive my elation. I'll walk myself out.
Okay.
Anyway, so she is keeps on trying to like figure out what's going on, and she starts asking, well, like, what's going on? Where is like Boswick and Mashaak? And Dusk kind of stops her and says, don't waste your breath. We need to do this evaluation thing. And I mean, that doesn't sound weird at all.
I'm getting concerned at this point.
Old guy in robes just survived from a crash. Little odd.
The antique medical equipment.
Oh yeah, when they actually get there is really ancient medical equipment.
Space Scientologists, come on, it's obvious. Clearly this guy is the great 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 grandson of L. Ron Hubbard and Jeff Bridges. Because eventually their families just came together at some point, random happenstance.
The whole time Mark Hamill is speaking, I in my head, I'm seeing this cross between Gandhi, Colonel Sanders, and Mark Hamill in my head.
Yeah. When I first heard the voice, I got like Fire Lord Ozai and the Joker mixed together.
So there were definitely a lot of points in here where I heard the Joker voice. Mm-hmm. Like there were some distinct, especially a little bit later on whenever Maya's actually talking about why she thinks he's a fraud. But it was really, really interesting to see that kind of actually come out. And it's like, okay, I can see how it's Mark Hamill for sure now. It kind of sold me on that cue. Going back a little bit before they actually start the evaluation, Maya talks about how whenever they were walking out of wherever they had her recovering to this other tent where they were going to do the evaluation, how everyone was, I wrote it down as intimately having fun, because there are a few things in there kind of culminating all that together. People were just in simple robes, like some of them were embracing each other. There were grown men rolling down the hill and laughing like children. And there was a really weird thing where people were hugging each other, arms around their waist, and then putting their foreheads together. And she also mentions that she heard a child cry, like screaming out in the background, yet no one seemed to really care.
Yeah, they're all drinking too much Kool-Aid.
Or something. They're high on life.
And Windex. Well,
they're high on something.
Mostly Windex.
Windex?
Yeah.
Judging by the picture, I don't know if they need Windex. There's not really any windows. They seem to live a pretty simple lifestyle.
Clearly you've never, seen my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
You can use Windex for everything.
Once. Yep. But the my arms got rid of it, or whatever it was.
Okay. I only watched it once. So I really don't remember the movie at all. So
that's your loss.
Yeah. I don't really plan on watching it again.
I haven't watched it the first time, so.
So they get to the tent where they're going to do the evaluation on Maya, and Dusk basically explains that it's not going to like harm you in any way. All of this is going to take readings from you, and It'll take whatever imprint you leave it with.
We're just going to extract some thetans from you. Get you clear.
Gotta check up on you. So these, one of Das's followers helps puts on these archaic ancient medical devices. Some weird headband and then something on her hands. And she points out that although like most of his facial expressions are like pristine, like and
smiling.
Well, and no, like a permanent smile, which also reminded me of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, I don't know if these are like intentional little, like it's not Easter eggs, but it's like foreshadowing or shadowing kind of other parts in there. But it's just kind of, and the way the follower kind of sounded whenever he was like saying how he was humbled and his bones were filled with light, it just sounded like that very, very eerie sense of, not deception, but just kind of felt out of place type of thing. You guys know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, he's been brainwashed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Semi-phenomenal, nearly cosmic powers.
Another good movie.
That wasn't the movie. That was the TV show.
You guys are making references. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Aladdin.
That was a... Wait, what was... That was Aladdin?
Yeah. He said it in the movie, too.
Well, no, in the movie, he has cosmic phenomena.
Oh, well, yeah, cosmic, it's said a little differently. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, because when in the series, he's free, so it's semi-phenomenal, nearly cosmic powers. And also not Robin Williams, but that's a whole other tangent, so whatever.
I didn't watch the TV series.
Yeah, you had to be a kid, I think, to watch it. It has not aged well.
No, I didn't watch it because it didn't have Robin Williams. It was also true.
RIP Robin Williams.
Definitely.
And something I forgot to mention, actually, looking at my notes before they started the evaluation, is something that she noticed that amongst all the peace that it seemed like everyone was observing and trying to maintain, something just felt eerily wrong. Like it was like something bad was just kind of on the brew of erupting, which, I mean, granted, the fact that they're there is, well, they know the anomaly is coming. So it's kind of fitting to think that amongst everyone being like super happy, super peaceful, that there's something bad about to happen. So it makes sense. And so as she's being prepped for the evaluation, Das goes on to say how when the Covenant were the imminent power in the galaxy, they had the prophets who were the hierarchs, and he was saying how they had the right idea of transcendence, but they misinterpreted the ancient text and the whole thing about the three lives they didn't have right.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was physical when really it was spiritual.
Right.
In other words, they misinterpreted the text, but I have the truth because I said so. That's why.
The comparison to the Covenant, it just rubs that chord.
I mean, it was inevitable.
Oh, it was. I knew I could see it coming a long time ago.
Oh yeah, when you first read that story where Dask first and the Triad first appear, it's like the parallels are undeniable. And I never really thought about it until this episode. I don't know what in this episode really sparked it, but well, I mean, a little bit, because for one thing, the information I'm about to reference didn't come out until last year. But in Halo Broken Circle, there was the ancient prophet, the prophet of inner conviction. So spoiler alert quickly on this, in case you haven't read Broken Circle, which is now a year old.
I don't think that's a spoiler at this point.
it's not a huge one. It's not central to the plot all that much. So he was talking about how every society is always fighting against chaos, and when you have three vectors of chaos, you know, there's the magic number, three again, everything would fall. So like in the case of the Covenant, the three vectors were humanity, the Flood, and then there's Civil War. In the case of the Forerunners, there are three vectors of chaos were, again, humanity, again, inter-civil, but this time it was civil political conflict, and then the Flood. That's just kind of funny. This is kind of a reflection of that in some ways.
Well, it's definitely been a reoccurring theme throughout the Halo series, throughout the Halo universe. You know, this is not something that's new.
Yeah.
The three has always been a significant thing in Halo.
There are a few numbers that have always been pretty significant.
Yeah.
For Halo.
Well, you know, they're different. They're significant for different reasons. But the three has always been probably the more mysterious of the reasons.
Yeah. But I mean, three is kind of a prevalent thing in real life. Like he talks about the order of three. I mean, there's that three vectors of chaos within the Halo universe. But in reality, I'm sure that was at least part. I wouldn't be surprised if that was partially inspired by the old idea of the law of threes, which, you know, whatever you send out comes back threefold. Kind of goes back into human history a bit, too.
Yeah.
So it basically kind of sounds like the
three is the magic number.
Well,
that's all you need to know.
What I was going to say is that the Covenant's Great Journey is basically the Triad's transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Dosk was saying.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, they both use the same words. Like, you know, at some point, I'm pretty sure the prophets even talked about transcendence, or transcending this life.
Transcending to the next plane of existence.
Yeah, there you go. That was it.
And if it's anything like we know from the Kilo 5 trilogy in Halo 4, that means turning into Prometheans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if that ended up being the case. If Dosk had been on Earth, it's like, quickly, run into the orange light. That is our transcendence. Dosk, are you sure? This seems kind of insane. Do not question future Jeff Bridges, boy. Run into the
light. That would be interesting if Jeff Bridges was on something like this.
Yeah, right.
Season 3, crash. Tell Noah to make it happen. Please? Pretty please?
Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
No, this is a demand.
All right, so back to the evaluation, since we got caught up on all the little intermediate stuff. Sorry, just tangents and jumping around everywhere. Dosk asks Maya what she knows about him, and she starts to say that you're a spiritual leader, and he retorts by saying, anyone with a brain could basically figure that out. What do you really know about me? So she goes on to say how he preaches that everyone has three lives and that you teach them to how to bring them all together in order to achieve transcendence, and that these anomalies are one-way tickets to that transcendence. And he's like, yeah, you're pretty spot on, but don't say it like you're convicted that that's true. And she's like, yeah, I think you're basically full of shit.
You're a freaking nut.
And then all of his followers
might be lying.
And all of his followers in the corners are like, oh, no. Peace be.
That was funny.
Peace be. And they're all whispering, too.
Yeah.
Dosk shushes him up by holding up his hand, and he's like, okay, go on. Do tell.
Please tell me how you really feel.
Exactly. So she basically elaborates into how she believes that he's selling a complete lie and tricking him into taking part in this like religion and forcing them to be here. And he says that everyone is here by choice. He's not requiring them to do anything or forcing anyone to do anything. And she comes back and says, but the way you are touting your philosophy, it's all done by like personal guidance that like you have to personally guide everyone. And how he constantly kind of changes like where the focus is on the religion, they have to constantly be following him to know what the next thing to do. Like it's a moving target, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on even further to say to kind of like sell it, the fact that she really thinks he's like full of it, is he believes that the anomaly will just kill them all. And then she threatens him by saying, and if I don't figure out where Mashak and Boswick are, I'm just going to start tearing this place apart. So at that moment, I think this is kind of the first time where we see Dosk maybe freak out just a little bit, because he shoots a quick glance over to one of his followers and they instantly bring in Mashak on a whim.
and he is loving the robes.
Look at this robe that they're having me in. So Maya's like, yeah, cool, whatever. Where's Bostwick? And Mashok's like, well, Bostwick is out helping with the new arrivals. Yeah. Obviously trying to throw off Dosk and his followers, doing a poor job of convincing him that that she's actually okay and maybe not off doing something she was not supposed to do.
I think he's doing that on purpose, mostly like to tell Maya's like, shut up about that. We can't talk about it at the moment or something. That's the impression I got, at least.
Right. But as Maya points out, he didn't really do a good job of selling that. It was pretty obvious that he was hiding something about her. I mean, that's what I was saying, like,
that he was doing that on purpose.
Right. It's like, you could tell it was very awkward, and you know that, okay, Mashok's obviously a horrible liar.
True that.
Yeah, so after that little exchange, Dosk comes back over, basically in Maya's ear, says that, I see your pain. I see how you've lived two very, very different lives. And this is the thing where we mentioned earlier how Dosk probably isn't letting on to all he knows, because the tone that he said, it seems to indicate that he knows that Pharaoh is probably the only spy that she was.
Yeah.
At least it seems to be that way with the tone of voice that he uses.
Yeah. And I found it very interesting, like, how regardless of whether or not he knows, basically what he says here reflects the entire, what seems to be the entire theme of this second season. You have Maya and Pharaoh, these two different lives, and the only way that she can, and right now she's basically being forced to bring these two to get these two lives together, as in embracing a third life.
Well, and look at some of the other followers that he has. If anything kind of is an indication that everyone else has been brainwashed, then it kind of seems like everyone's like misled to this whole thing. And maybe it was something with this ancient medical device stuff. Who knows? But it doesn't really seem like...
Yeah, I'd like to know what this device they got her plugged into is.
Yeah.
Thetan reader. We've already figured this out. Come on.
So just kind of after that, there's this weird kind of audible noise outside, and then some of Dask's followers start humming outside. So Dask goes to kind of check up on them, and then he encourages them to keep on doing it. And eventually he comes back in and takes Maya by the hand and brings her out. It's like, it's starting. The inevitable rebirth of humanity, this transcendence is upon us. So they go outside, and after a little bit, the rocks start to rise, and stuff is like, weird stuff is happening. And this is like, I was beginning to think that where did BB go? And he finally chimes up and says, oh, there's gravitational disturbances here. So that kind of reconfirms that she wasn't dreaming. Cause I thought for a minute, where, because she said it was black and white, and then like she was in a place that was all peaceful and whatnot, if she was like dreaming or in some weird, I don't know. I've been watching too much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. Some of that really sci-fi-y stuff. But, I mean, BB's basically points out that there's the gravitational disturbances, and if we look at it, there's pretty clear evidence that it's the same thing that we saw in the not Halo 5 trailer at E3. The Guardian anomaly that's happening.
Yeah, the not Halo 5 trailer.
No, I actually have the version with Halo 5 at the end rather than just Halo on Xbox One. Because that was actually a thing.
Well, I think someone photoshopped that in.
No. It was an official version that they made first that just has Halo 5 rather than Halo on Xbox One.
Was that the leaked one?
It's like, I actually have the video.
Oh, okay. So that was, okay.
It was posted, it was posted on, I think it was Axis Animated, whoever the studio is that made it, which I think was Axis, but might have been someone else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do remember that now. That's right.
Managed to hunt that down sometime after and still have it.
That's right. Okay.
Anyway, sorry, side note.
No, it's all right. So the anomaly is starting to happen. And before long, Dosk actually starts to levitate, is like rising 3 feet off the ground. And Mashok's like, are you seeing this? It's like, yeah, we can all see this. And she starts to mention to Mishak that they need to get out of there.
Yeah.
Everyone else starts to like moan louder, and Das starts to kind of go into his little speech about how the end is near, and that the meekness of their third life is as like silent and unobservable as like gravity is to the physical realm, and yada yada yada. And eventually, at the very end of the episode, he looks straight at Maya and says, "The end has begun."
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. It's more like that.
No, it's more like,
or that. That works too. I need to get that Inception button back.
Yeah.
On my phone.
It's the most quick story about it. I'll be very brief, but discovered that a couple years ago. Everybody started downloading it. So every time we'd finish a sentence, Inception button, everything is so serious.
Blah.
How are you doing this morning? Blah. I'm doing pretty good. Blah. Want to go get some food? Blah.
Just kind of abuse it.
Oh my god, people got so sick of it. We just kept going. Hey, want to go to that panel? Blah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anywho. But that's the end of the episode. Not too much to discuss. There's not as much information in these later episodes because it's a lot more immediate of what's happening, but lots of interesting stuff.
They're drip feeding us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we're so close to like the events of like where, cause like, you know, we know that level Swords of St. Helios, that's on October 27th. And then the chief was reported dead on October 27th. And we know from like, what was it? Episode 3, I think, where she met Ilsa for the first time and she confirmed it. Or was that episode 2? It was like, it might've been episode 2 where episode she found Ilsa. And then and Ilsa's like, we just got confirmed reports that the Master Chief is dead. So it's like, now we're somewhere into the Halo 5 campaign. So they can't really be as specific about certain details, I'm sure.
Yeah. Kind of makes me wonder how much, like, depending on when they release Hunt the Truth next week. Because I have a feeling it could be released on Monday.
Yeah, or I would not be surprised.
It could be part of the Halo 5 Live thing. Could be. Maybe.
Could be.
But if that's...
I'm kind of hoping not, because like, I'd much rather have it like the standard, either on Monday or that standard like 2 o'clock on Tuesday, so you've had some time to kind of get into things and not have to worry about it crossing over with other... Well, not too much. More than it already would.
Yeah.
But
hey, Noah, how's it going?
Hey, Noah.
Hey.
But yeah, it's one of those things. I think it'll be really interesting to see what they have in there, because obviously the game will be out by then. All the reviews. Oh,
there you go. Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Oh, so what?
There you go.
Oh, so same time, just on Monday.
Same cool. time, but on Monday.
Perfect. You heard it here first.
That might make having the podcast a little interesting. We will thank you for the info. We will plan accordingly. We will talk after this show on what exactly we're doing. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I'm drinking heavily.
I'll drink to that.
Okay. No, we had a couple questions from last week that you weren't quite here to answer, so I'm going to throw them out here real quick. First off, were any of Mishak's lines ad-libbed? Because there seems like a lot of instances, especially in the previous two episodes.
Oh, nice. Oh,
it'll be on Halo. So, yeah, the Hunt the Truth episode will be on Halo Live as well.
He'll be at.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
With Crash.
I'm hoping.
You lucky bastards.
I'm hoping I can actually help participate in the New York event. We'll see.
I'll take a plane ticket. You got an extra one laying around.
Dude, I have no money to really spare. Like, I really shouldn't even be making this
trip. No, I'm talking to Crash. Noah.
Oh, got it. So that was the first question. And the second question is, were the voice actors in the same room when they did some or most of this stuff? Or was it mostly independently done?
The shocks were scripted. Damn.
Because it sounds like someone
scripted, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sound very natural, so. good scripting and really good acting on the guy's name. Who's yeah, there you go, hilarious flavor.
Okay, so yeah, and then I think that there was something else I wanted to bring up about this episode too, but I can't remember exactly what it was. There's so much that I'm trying not to say because I have played the Halo 5 campaign. Yeah, I guess there wasn't really anything else to bring up. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. And Noah just confirmed for us that all the actors recorded separately.
Oh, well.
I'll tell you what, they did an awesome job.
Yeah, the editing's like really good. Right, don't get me wrong.
That's just a testament to the talent they have and then the effort that Noah has of putting all the episodes together. I mean, that just shows a lot of talent all around because it sounds like they're all in the same room when they're doing this. It seems like the chemistry, it matches so well. And then the whole thing about Mashaq, if it's not even ad-libbed, if that's the actual script.
That is, wow.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. I will admit, that's awesome.
Noah is a warlock, yes.
But yeah, so that is going to be it for episode 5. Episode 6, as Noah said, will come out on Monday at the same time instead of Tuesday. Not sure if that means we're going to try to do an episode on Monday or
BB had more improv on Tuesday, which makes a lot of sense.
Really?
That's what he's saying.
Well, wow. I mean, it seems like just the way the Mashaq's character is, it seems like Mashaq would have more improv than BB. But I mean, that's just like, I guess that's just the way it kind of sounds to me.
I mean, a lot of BB's lines, there are several BB's lines that sound like they could have been improvised, but it seems to me to stand out a little bit more with Mashaq.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like the whole grenades thing. Why are there grenades on my bed? Under my bed?
Why are there grenades under my bed?
Yeah. Oh, Mashaq. Love Mashaq. Love me some Mashaq.
Oh.
What did he improv in episode 5?
Improved one line in episode 5. That might be hard to pinpoint. Is this something that we're supposed to try to figure it out?
Let's just wait here in silence until
I'm not going to do that to the listeners.
No.
So we will be posting on Twitter whether or not we're going to be doing the podcast on Monday or Tuesday live. We're still going to...
Shoot him.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to still release the episode, obviously. But as far as when we're going to do the live show, we still got to try to figure that out. So stay tuned to Twitter for that. We are doing a podcast on Thursday this week. Not exactly sure what the topic is yet, actually. It's kind of open-ended at this point. So show up on Thursday. We'll have something for you then. We might talk about Wreck a little bit or some of the other kind of controversial or some of the other kind of unknown stuff. But there is going to be a lot of multiplayer stuff coming on Thursday because that's when the embargo releases for all multiplayer, like Warzone and Arena gameplay on streaming.
Co-op too.
Yep, and co-op.
Finally.
It's still restricted to 4 missions for co-op. Missions 1, 2, 3, and 8.
But now we can do co-op.
Now I can do co-op and I don't have to deal with the stupid freaking AI.
I love this.
Are you trying to say you got another cat?
No.
This AI not quite is that much bad.
Better.
Oh, okay.
It is better.
I honestly had a good time. Like the only issue I ever had was they would follow me a little too close. But I mean, when they're driving, they actually drive really, really well. For example,
there were moments though where it's just like, "What are you doing?" So the whole co-op buddy is going to be a big important thing.
Can't wait to play it. It's sitting on my dashboard, taunting me. Play me.
Do not worry, for soon you will be able to transcend that lock on your console. And then,
truly,
you will be filled with light from Halo 5.
Oh.
The launch is near.
Exactly 2 weeks from today. The clock is ticking.
Actually, 2 weeks from today, we'll be playing it.
But 2 weeks from today, it releases. So in 7 days, it comes out. If you want to get technical, it comes out in 6 days, 1 hour, 18 minutes, and 31 seconds.
And it's not even, you don't even have to worry about which, like, time zones now. It's going to release at midnight on the East Coast, just straight up.
That's a good change. Although it still kind of does suck for us on the East Coast, because, like, for people, like, some working people, it's like, midnight comes around, hey, I'm picking up the game, okay, I'm going straight to bed.
Yep, right.
Yeah.
Of course, and like...
Well, you know, I've always kind of liked the staggered launch, because you don't have the entire nation hitting the servers at once.
That's true. We all remember Halo 3.
Oh, geez.
Yep. So, I got my consoles in today. I got my limited collector's edition today. I get my Astros in on Thursday.
Same. You get your what on Thursday?
Astros.
Astros.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'll be waiting on the art book, the, what is it, the game guide, and the album for next week. So, wish those could fit early.
Yeah, so I'm
actually thinking about getting the new Astro mix amp, their TR. I wish you could update the existing mix amp to have the capabilities that one does, but
I haven't looked into that one too much.
The only real advantage is it lets you balance out the stream port.
Oh, okay.
As far as the audio, you can balance your mic, the chat volume, the game volume, all in all in their software.
Gotcha.
But on to the next.
Yes.
Yeah, I got my console. I'm loading. Right now it's working on Master Chief Collection. 37%. And it's only taken 5 hours.
Dang. Can't you just put it on a hard drive and then copy it over to your new Xbox?
I don't have a USB hard drive.
Oh, that could be a problem.
Well, I don't have a USB hard drive that's large enough.
Gotcha.
Can I get them 2 terabytes, dude? 2 terabyte hard drives.
There's that cheap $30 one that Major Nelson tweeted out that you couldn't actually ship. It had to be at your local store in order for you to go get it. And I was like, oh, that's great. Like, yeah, can't do that. No, no.
Well, it's not like I didn't have video editing to do tonight anyway.
Nope, not at all.
And I didn't even get all that done, thanks to 9 billion updates tonight. Every time I open a program, you need to update.
9 billion updates. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight for the whole Hunt the Truth stuff. There are a couple of other quick announcements that we need to make. There's some new stuff which we'll cover in a little more detail on Thursday's episode. But just to kind of hit the high points real quick, the Halo 5 Arena CSR and matchmaking details came out from Josh Holmes last week. So we got the full ranking scale for CSR and some matchmaking details behind how matches get determined and some of the banning info behind that. We also got you can also right now stream the entire Halo 5 soundtrack over on SoundCloud right now for a limited time. And they also released today the pricing info for all the different versions of the soundtrack that you can get. So there's 4 different versions. There's a digital version that you can currently get right now or pre-order on iTunes and Amazon right now, and you get 5 tracks for immediately for preview. And then there is the standard CD, there's a clear vinyl version that's available only from Hastings, and that's a limited run of 1,000 copies. And then there's the limited edition, which I will probably be buying, which comes with the CDs, a vinyl double album, a Blu-ray with a 5.1 surround sound edition of the soundtrack, plus a cinematic exclusive of the Sprint. And then there is orchestral sheet music of the Jamison Locke track. And then there's a digital download card with bonus tracks on there. And then the clear vinyl and the standard CD actually come with MP3 download card as well. So no matter what version you get, you actually get a digital copy of the soundtrack, which is great.
God, I'm going to have to cancel my other pre-order and get that one. That is...
Yeah, the Blu-ray itself. I mean, and the limited edition is $50. So you get the CD, you get the vinyl, you get the Blu-ray, you get the frickin' sheet music for Jamison Locke. It's a pretty good deal for $50.
Yeah.
Also, another thing you can do is customize your Spartan right now on Halo Waypoint. So they made an update to where you can go and any of the beta rec packs that you unlock, so like the Helios Grill or the Mark 6 Gen or the Gen Scarred, any of that stuff that you unlocked during the beta, you can actually go and customize right now on your Spartan. And also, if you've joined a company, which is basically Halo 5's new improved clan system, then you'll earn a rec pack there. You'll get three different items. And if you get an armor item, which I think so far everyone has at least received one armor item and then two other cards, you can actually go and view that one online as well. Any of the rec packs that you have redeemed through Xbox Live codes, those actually will not show up until you've opened the pack in the game. Once you've opened the pack or earned the cards in the game, then you'll actually be able to view them on Waypoint as well. Speaking of the Spartan companies, we have our own company. So if you head on over to podtacular.com/company, it'll redirect you to our Waypoint Spartan company where you can sign up and be part of our company there. We don't quite know if that's going to really make an in-game presence yet. They really haven't detailed that out yet, but if anyone has been around since the days of Halo 2, it's very similar, or at least it seems very similar, to the clan system in Halo 2. So you'll be able to put together clan events. You have your own dedicated forum on Halo Waypoint for your clan. And there's a few other cool customization options you can do in there. You'll be able to view stats for the entire clan and for certain people within your clan and all that nice, fun stuff. So if you're not part of a Halo 5 Spartan company yet, then please go on over to podtacular.com/company and select to join our company, and then we will get you approved to join. Each company is limited to 100, so we're not anywhere close to that yet, but if we ever do get to that point, then we'll consider splitting off to having multiple groups. Yes, Attack, our company is open to anyone. Just about anyone right now. So if you want to go and join, we will get you approved when we see the request to enlist in our Spartan company. Last thing to mention is Halo 5 Guardians is evading Minecraft by an updated skin pack. So if you have the Halo mashup pack for Minecraft, then there's an update coming for that, which includes skins for everyone on Blue Team and Fire Team Osiris. This is a free update. If you already have the pack, if you don't have the pack, then it's $3.99 for 360 and or Xbox One. And that's all the news that we have. So we'll go into a little more detail on that on Thursday's episode. But just kind of wanted to put some of that out there for you guys. We are going to be streaming Halo 5 campaign for the next couple of days. And then we'll be moving into some multiplayer as October 22nd is the embargo lift on any multiplayer footage and streaming. So we'll be doing a lot of that in the coming days. So make sure you are following our Twitch channel and are subscribed to our YouTube channel as well. In addition to those, make sure you're checking out our social networks. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We just uploaded our New York Comic Con photos not too long ago to Facebook. And that is a public page, so even if you don't have a Facebook account, you can still go over and view the pictures. Got a lot of pictures from 405th members that were there. Some really cool costumes, some really good cosplay over there. And if you're in the New York event, there's going to be a squad of 405th members there. There's going to be a squad of 405th members in the Seattle area as well, probably some in the California area. So if you have a local regiment of 405th by some chance, then it's likely that any of the Microsoft events that is going on will have some squad of 405th folks there. So highly recommend if you can get to one of those events, then do it. Make sure you check out the podcast network. We are part of a conglomerate of game-specific shows. So shows like Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Critzcast, which is a Team Fortress 2 podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then a couple of other ones like Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So if you're looking for some other podcasts to listen to, highly recommend you go check them out and let them know that we sent you. That will be a wrap for us tonight. Thank you everyone for tuning into the Twitch stream. We will be standing by right after this to stream Mission 8 from the campaign, and then based on some time after that, we may go into looking for some intel and some skulls, because there's definitely a lot of intel that I haven't found yet. And I've only found 2 skulls out of the 13 that there are, so we may have a little fun with that tonight. But Toa, thank you again for being on. We will see you next week along with you, GT, and hopefully all of you guys here in the chat, you will come in and join us, depending on whether or not you're going to be waiting in line for Halo. Hopefully you're not waiting in line that early, depending on when we do the podcast. But Twitch does have an audio-only mode on mobile, so if you're wanting to listen to us as you wait, then that'll be awesome as well. And that'll be it for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for coming in. And for those of you, thank you for shining brightly. And transcendence is upon us. The end is near.
Praise be to Dusk.
Praise be to him.